Good afternoon. Today is June 20th, 2017. Open the Subcommittee on Public Safety and open a work session on House Bill 5031, Oregon State Police. Ms. Nabirka, if you will go ahead and give us the overview.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. House Bill 5031 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Police. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending several significant changes to the funding of this agency, so we will jump right in and walk through their recommendation. The total budget of almost $428 million is 4.3% greater than the 2015-17 budget, but that small amount of growth masks significant shifts between funds. General fund is 4% less than 15-17, and other funds is 23.4% more. That's because of the addition of marijuana tax revenues, which we'll talk more about as we walk through the recommendation. The state police are organized into 10 program areas. They provide a number of sort of sole source functions for the state. So I'll go through the changes to each one, but I'll note only once those packages that affect multiple program areas. The first of those is package 105. That package acknowledges the transfer of OSP's Central Point facility from the Department of Administrative Services to the state police. There's no net change in the budget resulting from this switch, but $508,000 is reclassified from rent expense to debt service payments in order to pay off an outstanding bond on the facility. There's 4 years left on that debt. This package affects most program areas, as most programs have kind of a footprint in the Central Point facility. Like we saw in the Department of Corrections, there's a package, which is number 814, which affects the Administrative Services Division by transferring one IT security position to DAS. This is a reduction to the state police of $307,000 in one position, but it's a corresponding increase to the Department of Administrative Services. Another agency-wide change is in package 104, which reduces a total of just over $1 million from the OSP budget across all divisions. This funding had been made available to move the Springfield office to a new location. That isn't going to happen in the upcoming biennium, and so funding isn't needed for that purpose. I need to correct for the record one transposition in package 104. It's on page 11 of this LFO recommendation sheet. And on that page, the narrative shows a reduction of lottery funds of $10,479. The correct amount actually is shown in the actual numbers, which is $10,497. In the Patrol Services Division, two troopers are added in the OSU, Oregon State University Patrol Office through a $505,000 contract from the Oregon State University. That action will, like I said, add two troopers, and it supports a 24/7 presence on OSU's campus. OSU has a nuclear reactor on its campus, and it's important to have a good police presence there. Also in the patrol division is the first of several places where marijuana tax revenues replace general fund. Almost $2 million of general fund is reduced and replaced with marijuana tax funding for the purchase of 33 additional patrol vehicles in the upcoming biennium.
That's good.
In the Fish and Wildlife Division, there's also pass-through funding from the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife of $100,000 to provide extra overtime patrol coverage for range area patrols in the wintertime. In the Criminal Investigations and Forensics Divisions, $693,000 of SafeKit grant funds are carried over to be used in the 17-19 biennium. This grant was received this past April, and the total grant award was just over $1 million. The balance will be included in the 2019-21 budget in a policy option package then. And the grant is for inventorying and tracking SafeKits in OSP's possession. The other large marijuana tax replacement is in the Criminal Investigations Division, where $26.1 million of general fund is reduced, and it's replaced with marijuana tax revenue. This results in no net change in expenditures in that division. This is the division that has the drug enforcement agents, the criminal investigators, and the swap is really only on the revenue side, replacing one flavor of money with another. Also in the Forensic Services Division, Package 121 provides just over $1 million of marijuana tax funding to move the Pendleton Forensic Lab from its current location into more suitable space. I should note that the lab itself, the operations, are funded at the current service level in the agency's base budget. This package is just to move.
Rep. Upman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Was there an agreement worked out with, was it Blue Mountain Community College that was working on an agreement to place the forensic facility there to make it more cost effective and I think enhance some of the community college classes? Is that what I heard?
Mr. Chair, Representative Huffman, I know the agency is looking at quite a number of different locations for that that lab facility. I'm not sure exactly where it is right now. The agency is here and may be able to provide more information for you about the current status of that.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Senator Hayward.
While Superintendent Hampton's coming up, I would just say I had some conversations about that issue as well, Representative Huffman, and think it's a really intriguing idea. Obviously, I'll leave it to the discretion of both Blue Mountain and the state police, but the opportunity to have some hybridization to get some use, the opportunities for training, expand the facilities a little bit. Nice synergy from my perspective, but I'm not the people who actually have to do the work. So.
Senator Winters, Representative Stark, Travis Hampton for the record, Superintendent State Police, Representative Huffman, up until this committee reference, we are still acting under the governor's recommended budget assumption that we would close the Pendleton lab. And so we would put out another request for a proposal and try to get the best bang for our buck. But we would be excited for that opportunity. We definitely want to stay in the Pendleton, Umatilla County community. That's where it belongs. And that Blue Mountain Community College affords a great opportunity. But we would have to wait to see what proposals come in and see what we could afford, quite frankly.
Thank you.
Also, in the Criminal Justice Information Services Division, Package 100 adds $3.6 million of other funds expenditure limitation and $1.5 million in federal funds expenditure limitation for the LEDS 2020 replacement project. You may remember this project from when it was called the CrimeView project. It's the whole set of databases, applications, and interfaces that collectively make up the criminal history database used by law enforcement pretty much 24/7, 365. Days a year. Also in the Criminal Justice Information Services Division, an LFO package makes a fund shift for a total of just over $1.7 million in order to free up general fund to address the statewide shortfall. There's no net change in expenditures. Again, that's a revenue swap. And finally, in the State Fire Marshal Division, Package 111 increases other funds expenditure limitation by $560,000 and adds two compliance specialist positions. These are intended to provide National Fire Protection Association plan reviews and site visits in healthcare facilities, whether they're being built or remodeled. That in total is the LFO recommendation.
All right. Representative Huffman.
This may not be the appropriate time, but at some point I'd like to give Superintendent the opportunity to get on the record some information updates on great kits.
And we have a grant application coming up in just a moment, and we figured that was a good opportunity to do that.
Thank you.
So.
Can we see
Chair Winters.
Yes, Co-Chair Stark. I move the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5031.
Co-Chair Winters moves the LFO recommendation to House Bill 5031. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So moved. And key performance measures?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends the agency's key performance measures and targets as presented. We did not have a lot of issues with these. We thought they were appropriately measuring and reporting on things that not only are important to all of you, but to the agency's management of operations.
Co-Chair Stark, I move LFO's recommendations on key performance measures.
Co-Chair Winters moves the LFO recommendation on key performance measures. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so moved. And looks like we have no budget notes. And how about recommended changes?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The recommended changes total to a budget of $271,179,221. General fund, $8,309,518 of lottery funds, $135,984,033 other funds, and $12,392,356 of federal funds with 1,315 positions, which is 1,293.62 FTE. There's a dash one amendment that reflects those changes.
Co-Chair Stark, I move adoption of the dash one amendments to House Bill 5031.
Co-Chair Winters moves the adoption of the dash one amendments to House Bill 5031. Is there any conversation? Rep. Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Superintendent Hampton, I need to encourage you to stop letting great people retire. That's all I got to say. Lost another Pat, Pat Short. Yes, a quit. Don't let him go.
Co-Chair is Representative Huffman. We, OSP, encountered a large hiring boom in the late 80s, and I'm afraid the bill's coming due on those employees. And I will give credit, if you mentioned him, he's an area commander of the Dalles for many years, Patrick Short, and good friend, and had a chance to shake his hand the other day, but he will be sorely missed, so I agree with you. I'll do my best to curb the tide. But.
Any other discussion?
No discussion, just a comment. I join Representative Huffman, but also, you and I we've had some conversation about the challenge always for OSP, and I've consistently have said it'll be one day, hopefully, where the Oregon State Police will enjoy like it did once in our history, where the budget wasn't constantly a problem for you in being able to fully man your troops and the force across the state. And some of us over the years have tried to look for ways to where you do have dedicated funding, so that you're not having to compete for the pot of the general fund. And so I really appreciate working, having worked with you and Forgate and others that and the quality of your forthrightness. And I really do appreciate it. And I want to say thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Winters.
Any other discussion? Any objection to the motion that we adopt the dash one amendments to House Bill 5031? Seeing none, so moved. The amendments are adopted.
Co-Chair Stark, I move House Bill 5031 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Winters moves the House Bill 5031 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any other conversation or discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so moved. And with full committee. Okay, we got Barker for House floor.
Senate floor.
And Winters for Senate.
And for the full committee, Representative Barker?
I'm not.
He's not on.
Oh,
so
right. No, I'll take it.
And Winters will take it. that note, we are going to close the work session on House Bill 5031 and open a work session on port security grant application requests by OSP. So bring on up whoever you'd like to bring on up. And in your presentation, please take a moment. I do understand that in your guys' present agency presentations previously, you did bring us up to speed on the delay with the safe kits and where you are at. But will you give us at least a brief overview of about that, given the current media attention it received, and then we'll see if there are further questions at that point.
Sure. My colleague Major Anderson could speak to this far better than I can, but I would like to comment on it. Mr. Co-Chair, it's any backlog of safe kits, sexual assault kits, is absolutely unacceptable. It's embarrassing, quite frankly, as in the public safety profession that this exists. But we do have to face reality for our agency that we do have a capacity issue when we are struggling to keep up with the workload that is coming in, and then you face essentially an onslaught of 5,000 untested kits that arrive at our doorstep. This committee was very kind in the past and generous to fund those new positions to combat the backlog, but a DNA biologist analyst is just not somebody you pluck off the street and train in a couple of weeks and put them to work. So the backlog will exist until these positions are trained throughout the remainder of this year into early spring of 2018. Unfortunately, like you might remember in phase two, no different than our patrol officers, you take a qualified tenured employee, you pull them offline to train a new employee, you not only lose the workload of the new position that is in training, but you lose the workload and the efficiencies of the person that is doing the training. So we are finally realizing, I believe, a turnaround. We will continue to experience a turnaround, hopefully take this down to a level that's acceptable, which is no backlog. But it's just not going to be in the next few months. It's going to take us a couple, three more quarters before we can report back and say, here's the advances we're making. I'm disappointed in a publication that ran the story. We gave them quite a bit of information that was not included, and it is what it is. But it was poor timing, and nothing has changed since our phase two presentation that we are stemming the tide, but it's going to take a little bit of time to realize the efficiencies of those new positions.
Representative Huffman. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to put on the record and make it clear that my reason for asking was to give you the opportunity to defend yourself more so and get the rest of the story out there, because we know you're working hard.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Senator Sandra Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Superintendent Hampton, this has been one of my concerns, and I think you've articulated it pretty clearly. I've done a little bit of reading about this stuff nationally, and is it fair to say that even if you outsourced all of this to other reliable labs, there really isn't the capacity nationally to clear this backlog quickly? I mean, my understanding is we are not alone. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate and agree with completely that any backlog is unacceptable, but we're in the position we're in, and you can't clear it overnight if you don't have capacity to do so, right?
It is. Co-Chair, Senator Steiner Hayward, that is absolutely correct, and we compete for those specialized positions to do the work. And of course, even if we outsource every single one of these kits, they still return to us for validation. So the work eventually comes full circle back to the state police to sustain courtroom standards. And so that is really in our profession. It's no different. There's a finite pool of applicants that are willing to do this job. And Senator Winters spoke to this earlier. We see this in our sworn ranks also. We are in competition with not only Oregon agencies, but agencies all over the country. And when you operate under an environment that the state police is, that we are recruiting unless we are going to lay you off in 2 months. And so, we made job offers to 30 new state troopers last month. We now are down to 21 people that have gone their separate ways. That's after we've invested thousands in recruiting them, gone through a background, extensive testing process. And so that is really no different than our forensic scientists. We look at pay, we are competitive thanks to this committee, but there is a finite pool of people that are willing or have the aptitude to perform this work, no different than the forensics.
Thank you, Superintendent. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Coach Winters.
Could you also explain, and I'd like to get this on the record, because you talked about the 5,000, but that 5,000, as I understand it, when you get the kits, it's everything from what may be both the criminal or the other piece that may be where you have two consenting individuals rather than two non-consenting individuals. I know when I talked to the other day, when you get them, it's they're not ranked, are they? Or are they?
Well, Senator Winters, sometimes we do have at prosecutor discretion, we have a kit that is absolutely urgent for case resolution, or maybe the offender is at large, or there's a timeliness issue and a statute of limitations. But hopefully the public safety mindset that there's kits that should not be tested is a thing of the past. I mean, all kits deserve their day. That was an issue in the past, I believe, that if the matter is not who the actors were involved, it's the consent issue, maybe that kit and a police officer's mind or detective would not be a priority. But we don't view it that way. They all have equal priority. But admittedly, there is a hot case where a DA or a detective says, we have to have this right now, and we will often move that to the front. But that is not done by the delivery service employees. That takes a command staff review. We just did one for Umatilla County a couple weeks ago where this is a bad offender in our community, and we have to check on this right now, and we'll move it to the front of the line. But for the most part, and Major Anderson will correct me, they are all given the same appropriate attention now.
But for the record, where you have a case that the prosecutor or, the collection of the information sends it to you, and it's a in the medical world, it's a stat.
Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, members of the committee. For the record, my name is David Anderson. I'm currently a major with the Oregon State Police, and I oversee the Police Services Bureau, which does include the Forensic Services Division. So Senate Bill 1571 in 2016 did mandate that our forensics lab create a way to prioritize the testing of non-anonymous safe kits. And we have done that. And you are correct. Those that are a imminent public safety concern or are headed to trial quickly, those are near the top. And then there is a matrix from there. And we developed that in accordance with Senate Bill 1571.
Just shows you that we're paying attention.
Absolutely.
Especially this one. She's good at that.
All right. Well, if you would like to add more, have at it. Otherwise, let's move on to a grant application.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, I felt the superintendent actually handled that very well.
So. I just wanted to say stat, but it didn't work.
Well, that has a different meaning than ASAP.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, it does. Yep. That's a word from my world.
Okay.
All right.
Are you supposed to give an overview?
Yes. Thank you.
You knew
I was
the process.
Mr. Chair, committee members, Oregon State Police is here with requesting approval to apply for up to $700,000 in port security grant funding through the U.S. Department of Homeland Security Federal Emergency Management Agency. Major David Anderson is here to tell you about this grant application request.
Yeah, thank you. Again, co-chairs, members of the committee. Yes, so we currently, our Fish and Wildlife Division, as you may have heard previously, currently has an aircraft program. There are four aircraft within that program stationed throughout the state, here in Salem, Bend, Central Point, and Baker City. Those aircraft are primarily used for fish and wildlife enforcement, but they also do help our partner agency, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, with fisheries and wildlife management through time in the air. So this grant, the intent here is to help us to replace our Salem aircraft. It is over 40 years old. It is due for a new engine, new paint, new interior. It has close to 15,000 air hours on the airframe, which is a time for replacement. So we are hopeful that this grant will present us the opportunity to receive federal funding to allow us to hopefully get a new airplane to replace this craft.
Are there any questions for them? Senator Frederick.
Thank you. I'm just curious about what kind of activity you're using or anticipating related to drone work.
Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, Senator Frederick, do not anticipate any work with the manned aircraft related to drone work.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, currently the planes, just to expand, the planes and the Fish and Wildlife Enforcement, they patrol, this plane, particular plane, patrols the Columbia River, helping Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife with creel census work, counting anglers, used in enforcement for poachers, road closures, doing wildlife census, deer and elk, and those are the things that the plane is used for primarily. But it does get called into if there is a missing person, we can help with that. Or if there's a suspect at large, we have been called to assist with those things as well. But nothing with drones or unmanned aircraft.
Okay. Gee, I have a lot in this building.
Any other questions?
I do have a question, though. And what type of plane? Because I noticed Hell's Canyon, and not all planes can...
Yes, Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark. The current plane that we have is a Cessna 185, which is known as a tail dragger. It has the wheel at the tail. They're a little more difficult to land than a 182. We are hoping that we can, they don't make the 185 anymore, and parts are becoming more difficult to obtain. We're hoping one of the planes we will look at is a Cessna 206. It has a little larger passenger capacity, and it has a longer air flight time. It actually has a smaller fuel tank, but it actually is much more efficient and has approximately a 200-mile longer range, which can be beneficial.
And what are the prospects of you getting this grant in your conversation with Homeland Security?
Co-Chair Stark, Co-Chair Winters, it is definitely a competitive process nationwide. There's approximately $100 million that is up for grabs. We have applied for this grant before and been successful. It doesn't mean we'll be successful this time. But again, you don't know unless you go. So we'd like to give it a shot.
Representative Huffman.
Mr. Chair, and I don't want to get too far afield here, but since drones were mentioned, just briefly, since OSP doesn't have anybody that comes to my work group and participates, what are you doing with drones? Have you begun experimentation to see how they could be used for Wildlife Division for
Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, no. We have our crash reconstruction unit examining the potential of using them in crash reconstruction. They do.
HB 3047 now allows that.
Correct. And we've been researching that. As far as wildlife work, I believe the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has taken to examining those. I can't speak for certain if they have them in use, but for our agency, the research that has been going on has been related to crash reconstruction.
Representative Sanchez.
Oh, no.
Oh, I thought that was a...
No, that wasn't that one.
Right. Co-Chair Winters.
Just to verify, this won't be bare in the air.
Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, that is correct.
Okay.
All right.
Do we have a motion?
Oh, I need to.
We have more something going on here. See, I'm not used to these applications.
We don't do them very often.
Don't you remember from 2 years ago? I thought we trained you better than that on human services. We get them all the time in human services.
See, but we don't.
I was sitting down at the end.
That's true, you were.
Mr. Chair, committee members, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval of the grant application request.
Co-Chair Stark, I move that we accept LFO's recommendation and approve that the agency can apply for the grant.
Co-Chair Winters moves that we accept LFO recommendation that we approve that the agency may apply for the post-security grant application. Is there any other discussion related to anything anyone wants to talk about?
You have a very generous commissioner.
You are.
Seeing none, are there any objections? Seeing none, so moved. We will close our work session. Well, anything else for the good of the order? All right, we will close
just
our work session.
We don't call
and we
it
are
the
adjourned.
I'm not calling it.
All right, we will close our work session.
We don't
and
call it
we
the
are
bear in the air.
Adjourned.